You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This morning, the Salvation Army released their annual State of the Nation report. The report identifies changes in five major areas, being child welfare, work and income, crime and punishment, social hazards, and housing. I spoke with Social Policy Director, Lieutenant Colonel Ian Huston, about each of these areas and the changes identified within the report.
Tell me, employment is up, but unemployment hasn't seen any change. What does this say?
Well, it probably relates to the fact that there's been immigration and there's more people, but the unemployment, it hasn't changed the unemployment rate, but there is more employment, more jobs.
Could you tell me a little bit about the changes in child welfare, such as education, poverty, violence, etc.?
Okay, well, one of the key ones that we've tended to focus on this time is the index, if you want to call it that, of child poverty. And the two measures that we have used there was child poverty of 50% of the median income after housing costs. It's just a general indicator of child poverty, and it's dropped over the last 10 years gradually but consistently, which is good news. However, the next level down, which is the same indicator but this time 50% after housing costs, has stayed stubbornly consistently at the same level, which actually means there's about 174,000 children who would be classed as in the deeper level of poverty still in New Zealand, which so it's good that at one level we're seeing a reduction, but at the hardest end, or the more desperate, if you want to call it that, end of poverty, it's remaining stubbornly in place.
Do you have any suggestions, I guess, then, for how you would want to see the things that are slipping back? How would you like to see that improve?
Well, the areas that we particularly think need attention are connected to the fact that the highest percentage of those who are stuck in that bracket tend to be the ones who are on benefits, and we think that benefits have been haven't kept up with inflation. They were low in the first place back in the 91 budget cuts. They were low, but they haven't even kept to that level. This government has been good in that they've allowed all sorts of ancillary benefit, additional benefits for emergency to happen. So we've seen an increase in that, but we think the benefit level needs to come up about 30%, the core benefit, so that people can actually afford to live and to raise their families. And that's one key part of that equation, yeah.
Right. Well, moving on to crime now, overall, it looks like crime has remained relatively consistent, but sentencing and imprisonment has decreased. So what does that represent?
Well, I think what we've noticed is that there's been an increase in the number of people granted parole. That seems to be one of the key indicators. I mean, the thing with crime, and because in actual fact it hasn't been, there's been reduction in certain crime, overall crime, youth crime, but in other areas like violent crime has increased a little bit. Some of the difficulties we have in trying to analyse this relate to the fact that there's a lot of different variables, like police might change where they put their attention. And that means that there's suddenly more evidence of certain types of crime and less of another. So there's different things that come to play in terms of trying to work out whether in actual fact crime has got worse. It's actually not that much changed, other than that there's less people in prison at the moment, which we think is a good thing. But the overall crime statistics is, we've said there's not really been much of a change. And that's one of our concerns around that is that we see there's a lot of talk about trying to do justice reform, but at this stage, very little actual change has happened.
So talking about social hazards, could you tell me a little bit about changes in drug use?
Yes, well, I mean, what we've got in this report talks about the crime or illicit prosecutions, and it shows that methamphetamine prosecutions have gone up consistently over the last while. So that's not a surprise, because what we're hearing out there is that the use of methamphetamine has increased significantly, and it is a concern, whereas the number of arrests or prosecutions related to cannabis has dropped, although the latter one may have to do with the fact that the police aren't prosecuting as often. But yes, definitely it shows that methamphetamine has, prosecutions have gone up, and that mirrors the evidence we have of people out in the community saying of what the problem is in their communities.
Do you think that the 2020 cannabis referendum is having an impact on this?
We are unsure, but because we actually see, if you delve into the figures more, that cannabis use has actually gone up in the last year, and not hugely, but it hasn't been going up before this year, and we wonder if discussion around cannabis and the looming referendum, whether that's in any way impacted. It may not be the case, but it's a statistic that is of interest anyway.
Sorry, I'm not entirely familiar with the cannabis referendum, but will that have an impact on people who are already facing charges for cannabis use and stuff?
I'm not sure about that either. It may well not, if they were to make it legal, be presumably going forward anyway. And to a certain extent, going into this referendum, the police have taken a more, I don't know if you want to call it lenient, it's probably better more to call it a health approach, in that rather than criminalising people's usage of cannabis, for example, they are tending to look at diversion or other options, health, maybe treatment, that type of thing. So in some ways, the law has been practiced differently even before the referendum comes around. There's not so many arrests taking place as there used to be.
Right, and that could very well have had an impact on sentencing rates as well, right?
That's right.
Gotcha. Yep. Okay, so talking about debt and lending now, what's the state of debt and lending?
Well, household debt is at an all-time high, which is of concern. It's at an average of just over $160,000 per household, which is historically high, and that I think means that it feels like there's a degree of risk there for nationally, because apparently it's not far off the GDP level, and so if something really, because a lot of it's to do with property, if it went wrong, you know, we could be vulnerable there. And it also means a lot of people have got huge debt all in their housing, which is kind of connected to the housing and affordability issue that we've covered in this report as well. But on top of that, third-tier lenders people are in debt to them at quite a high level too. However, we are quite encouraged by the new legislation that's come in that puts a level on interest that can be put on debt that wasn't there before. We never had any interest cap, so we're really pleased about that, although we would like to see more work done in that area.
Yes, so with housing, I mean, this seems to be the most disappointing category of the lot. What's causing so many issues with housing?
Well, we think, I mean, obviously there's been population growth. It's been a bit of a mix this year because Auckland seems as though it's starting to level out. Maybe the need is not as powerful as it was, at least for certain ends of the housing spectrum, but the rest of the country is now starting to feel that house prices are going up. There's not enough low-cost accommodation, and people waiting list, for example, the 14,000 people on the waiting list for social or public housing, that pressure is going on all around the country now. And what we see is there's not there's insufficient building going on for more for the affordable level and for cheap rental public housing. There's a desperate need for people at that end. People just can't afford, and it's driving people into poverty along with the low income levels.
Right. Well, before I let you go, can we just briefly touch on Māori inequality? Because it seems that things are generally mixed in that regard. Is that right?
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, if you're talking about progress, there's some ups and downs, but the general picture is obviously there's a lot of work to do. I mean, there has been things done, but it's quite a stark read when you look down the line of just how many of those indicators show Māori at a disadvantage. And it does sort of highlight the fact that we need to work hard at having Māori involved in their own solutions, resourcing them. And there are examples of where Māori, working with Māori, have turned things around. But also it does mean sometimes that we need to target and resource Māori initiatives to make a difference in all these areas. Some of the areas, of course, are just like the housing one. Māori are hugely impacted by the demand for social housing. That's one of the biggest areas of disparity. And so obviously if we could solve that, we could get a lot more social houses built, then that might help at least in one area, solving the inequality there.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.